Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled The Resurrection, Its Effect on the Lives of Those Who Believe in It from the First Century to the 21st Century. Here is Gabriel of Urantia.
I think Good Friday actually should be called Bad Friday. When Amadon was 7 years old, he said to me, "Why do they call it Good Friday? Jesus was crucified." I said, "Well, like anything else in this world, Amadon, they get things backwards. They call evil good and good evil." I went on to explain that some people believe Jesus came to die for the sins of humankind, and they believe that it's good that he died. I always had a trouble with that one. I said, I could never figure that one out myself when I was your age, 7, up to maybe 17 and beyond. Because that's really bad that he died. But he didn't really die permanently. There was a resurrection. That's what we know now as Easter. It all happened within 3 days after his crucifixion. Caligastia, Satan or the devil, threw his troops of the day in the first century, Caesar and company, Herod and company, gave it their best shot to destroy the message of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ Michael. This message that Michael came to give concerning his kingdom not only in the heavens, in his capital world called Salvington, or in his universe that he created called Nebadon, this message for the kingdom of heaven on earth. They did all they could to destroy the message and to destroy the character of the messenger. Caligastia thought that the messenger, Jesus, was dead, buried, and good riddance. He thought the apostles and disciples were too emotionally scattered and defeated to get back to normal. And they were, just temporarily. Through Herod, the puppet Jewish king, the proclamation went through the empire of the death of that alternative spiritual leader, Jesus of Nazareth, who, after all, was only a carpenter's son. Ring out throughout the land. Hear all, hear all. The alternative religious leader with the new revelation is dead and crucified. On his cross of crucifixion, they wrote, "Ha ha, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." The false religious leaders of the day proclaimed it through the media of the day. Messengers, they were, of the dial media, on the fastest chariots, on the fastest horses, throughout the land. The alternative leader is dead. They said that he was tried justly, this imposter, and that they gave him a fair trial and equal representation. They said he was convicted and found guilty by the people themselves, not by those in political power, not by the religious people of the day, Not by the media, but the people did it. Pontius Pilate said, I wash my hands of this. The people convicted him. Some of the loudest voices that cried out to crucify him were some of the former students of his teachings. He was betrayed by one of his own apostles, Judas. So we, the media, and the powers that be who protect you, the people, had no choice but to crucify him. For this is what the people wanted. In the land that was then called the land of peace, and in Jerusalem, the city of peace, as the people ate and drank at their evening meals with their children and their families, they said to each other, the false king was deserving of his suffering, of his misrepresentation. He's deserving of it. He deserved to be whipped, beaten, scorned. He deserved it. He deserved his death, for his message did not prosper us. It didn't even prosper Jesus himself. We receive our food and our sustenance and the good things of life from Caesar. And the people who rendered to Caesar what was Caesar's cared not for the lives of the families and the children of those other families who followed that so-called egomaniac alternative view leader who had died on the cross with thieves and murderers. See, he is a liar. Yes, he is a thief. Yes, he has deceived you. Yes. We did not prosper from his teachings. Crucify him. Glad he's dead. Those followers of his are kooks and pagans and cultists. Wackos, wacos. Not us. We are the sophisticated. Those ones who follow this alternative leader, they don't even deserve welfare. Or our tax money, or health care. We, however, we work hard to get it. We deserve it. Do you know that some of them even say that this non-traditional leader, this egomaniac, this one who says he's the king of the Jews, he says he's going to resurrect. Eat, drink, and be merry. It's a short life, and I want it all now. That's what they say. Said it then, said it now. It's nothing new. Those who do not hear the true voice of God inside of us say the same things. Not only for the last 2,000 years, but for the last 200,000 years since the Caligastia Rebellion. Many people, millions, believe that Jesus did resurrect and came back from the dead. He was the ruler of not only the earth and is the ruler of not only the earth, but of all planets in his vast universe that he created called Nebadon, over 6.5 million inhabited worlds. I would not mess with him. Oh, Jesus didn't give all that information in the first century. His followers hardly could understand the little that he did tell them. They were too busy trying to catch the fish to feed their families and deal with the Caesar that oppressed them and the poor people of that day. Jesus didn't want to tell them too much. He was the fourth epical revelation, not the fifth epical revelation. His main message was that there is one God and that all humans are brothers and sisters in God and that people need to love one another and take care of each other. A simple message. He did not come to give the mysteries and cosmology of the Master Universe in the first century. That was the fourth epic of revelation. The fifth epic of revelation is something different. He was just trying to make it as easy as possible. He didn't deal with the cosmology of the Master Universe. He would just say, my little children, love one another. It's a pretty simple message. You would think it's very easy and that everyone would understand that one. First of all, when somebody really loves you, they care for you. That means they take care of you when you need taken care of. It's not just words. It's action. It's not something that you read and talk about. It's something that is happening to the people involved. It's an energy. It moves things. Love. They have put their words into action, these true love lovers. They put their loved ones before themselves, unselfishly and unconditionally. Action. Many men and women give up careers so that the one they love can pursue a career. Think about that. That's unselfish love. In this society, mostly the women have to give up their careers so that their husbands can seek their careers and become the main wage earner. Hopefully, that man will appreciate the sacrifice of his beloved wife and treat her like a princess or a queen and never ever choose to leave that beloved compliment who sacrificed for him when she was so young. Romantic love is not just sex. It is much more than that. And when the sex vibes are long gone, the only thing that's left is loving the spirit within the soul of the person you love. No matter what the body looks like, the spirit inside the body. You can show your love to someone much, much more than just the sexual act. You can be married to someone without having sex at all and having a very wonderful and happy life. I have known couples where one was wounded in war, physically impaired, some with HIV, and they stayed with each other. There was no sex in their marriage, but there was a lot of love. A lot of love. There were no children. That which could make children was wounded in action or damaged in some way. But the soul and spirit continued and the love continued. So if your love is based upon the parts of the body that excite your flesh, then you've never come to love the spirit of your husband or wife. You were married for the wrong reasons. It won't last. And if it does, it's lasting. You'll be miserable for the rest of your life because you married on wrong premises. Leaders who sincerely love devote their lives to giving uplifting and inspiring messages to their loved ones. The more honorable the leader, the more experienced in ascension. The more he or she can be loved and followed. We truly need loving elders and husbands and loving wives. We need many leaders. The only way individuals are going to become leaders is if they first show other leaders the honor that is deserved them. If you can't honor a leader in your life, you will never become a leader. Not in God's kingdom. You may be out there in the third dimension, but behind your back, they'll hate your guts I don't care how rich you are or how powerful you are. If you can't have others following you because they honor and love you, because you showed them that honor and love, you don't have a true constituency. That is God's way. He doesn't make us robots. He doesn't force us to love Him. He gives us free will to love the Father. We love God because we want to, not because we have to. And that's how leaders need to respond to their follower. True leaders today, there's very few of them, and they are called many names by the establishment. And every good thing that they have within them is turned around to make them look ugly, to defame their names. Good leaders, however, wherever they can be found, deserve your honor and love. The apostles and many of the first followers themselves were martyred throughout the centuries because they chose God's kingdom over Caesar's, over Babylon, over Caligastia's, over the third dimension, all the same. And that first century was called Caesar's kingdom. It's been called Babylon before that. Now, the third dimension in the New Age and status quo. That made Caesar and company very mad when they didn't follow Caesar, because they thought that the troublesome leaders of the people are somehow not being hurt bad enough. And Jesus resurrected, and they were really pissed. They tried to deny his resurrection from moment one. And they still do today. They try to make him less than what he is, less than what he was, less than the God of all this universe we all are in right now, for whatever reason. I would not miss with him. Here was Jesus' followers still preaching his message after Jesus was crucified. Caesar and company thought, he's dead, he has no power, he's not the real king. Why are you still following this false egomaniac? They thought it all had ended. But here they are. Apostles got back up on their spiritual feet, start preaching the truth again. For many centuries, the followers of Jesus looked for the promise of his physical return. But even though he did not return, they realized the precious gift of the Spirit of truth within them that Jesus said he would give them to all those who believed in him. They knew that Jesus was real. They knew he resurrected. They saw him. They touched him. Over 500 people saw him before he ascended back to Salvington. No, as of yet, he hasn't returned physically. But they all felt and knew, even those who did not see him in the first century, that something beautiful lived in them now. Something beyond their human spirits. Something that gave them truth about something they were praying about. They knew it, and they were able to discern truth from untruth to the best of their ability as long as they made the choice within God's kingdom. There's a right and there's a wrong. There's the kingdom of the world, and there's the kingdom of God. And it begins right here on earth. Those who continued to choose Caesar over the true kingdom of God were always Jesus' worst enemies. They were always the enemies of those who made right choices in the kingdom of God. Hasn't changed since day one. In each century, when The followers of Jesus repersonalized, incarnated back on this planet. The followers of the true kingdom began new renaissances of the day. New renaissances of the day, of that century. They were continuing the part of the fourth epoch of Revelation that didn't get a chance to be completed in the first century because Jesus was crucified. They completed it. And that's what Neon said before, remember? Greater things you would do even than I did. That's what that meant. He said, I'm leaving now, and I'm going to leave behind the helper that will help you discern the truth. Go into all the world and teach it, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you always. Those of the true bride of Christ, in a way, had a much more difficult time over the centuries because they knew the true bridegroom. It wasn't just the word they heard in their head. Christ was in their hearts. Truth was in their hearts. Caesar continued to make it very difficult for them in every century. The world has always made it very difficult for them to be true followers of the Spirit of God. So those who really followed were the ones who were persecuted through most of the history of this planet. But they would not sell out. Their lives were lives of decisions to do the right thing. Is your life a life of decisions to do the right thing? Although many may come in his name and say they are Lutherans, Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, whatever, trying to identify with being religious, some are not followers of the Spirit of Truth, and some are. Those who follow the true call to come to the wedding banquet of the bridegroom, who choose the voice of the bridegroom over the voice of Caesar, will have one thing that prestige, money, fame, girlfriend, boyfriend won't give you, can't give you. You will begin to have peace in your life. Peace that passes all understanding. I know what that peace is. I knew it when I lived in a teepee. I knew it when I had nothing. Peace. Somehow that passes all understanding when you have not one little thing, hardly of any materialistic quality. A life of inner peace is attained when you are in God's perfect will for that moment in your life. No other way will it come. If you don't have that peace, you got out of it somewhere. Get back in it, get down on your hands and knees, and ask God, ask Jesus Christ, Michael, to show you the way. And then follow it. If you think that materialism and all the things that materialism can buy is giving you deep happiness, then you have much more hard lessons to learn, hard living, and hard experiences that God will put you through. I wouldn't mess with them. So the spiritual war, and it is a war between good and evil, right and wrong, goes on. What is this war, this great controversy? Well, it's pretty simple. This great controversy is the war between Michael, Jesus, and Caligastia, a secondary Lenondedec son that is on this planet that many call the devil. This war is between those that follow the true Prince of Peace and the true Spirit of Truth, and those who follow the desires of the world and the spirit of Caesar, Caligast. The battle continues to go on. So many who come in his name the name of Jesus, still compromise with Caesar. And they think they're good, upright, outstanding, and holy people. Christianity today in the United States and other Western civilization countries is unrealistic. It's as jive as you can get, bro, is what they would say back east in the eastern cities. I'm a Jesusonian. Jesusonian. I hear his voice and I do his will. Wow, that's the concept. Hear his voice and do his will. Well, that's a unique concept. By no means can I identify with the Christians in this greedy society. I can identify with the Christians in third world countries. I'd be happy to identify with the Christians in third world countries who understands the suffering of humanity and the fact that we live in a world where everyone is not rich, nor are they supposed to be. They're not powerful, nor are they supposed to be, because the age of the soul is different with all of us, or not middle class. There's a lot of poor people out there that are good and holy people. Remember, sometimes love is confronting someone, admonishing them with the truth. The truth. The truth isn't a secret. It's everlasting and available for everybody. It's not a secret. You can't even buy it. It's free to all those who want it. Love is encouraging someone to become a better person. That's what love is. Love is encouraging them in their talents. Man, what a good singer you are. Boy, you got really potential to be a great guitarist. You should be an architect. You should be an engineer. You should be a writer. That's what love is. Love is not knocking someone down when they're beginning to get into their talent. Resurrect your heart. Resurrect your life daily. And in God's time, all the good dreams that God has put in that heart will come true. It's no secret. It's easy. Be good. And God will give to you. He is your Father. But you want it all right now, right now, right now. Instant mashed potatoes. You have an eternity to get it. Trust your Father in heaven. He will bring it all to pass for you. Just do what he wants you to do now. All the world is running around trying to do the wrong thing for the wrong reasons. Trust your Father to manifest every beautiful and good dream that you have ever thought of in God's time. You have an eternity. An eternity. In the meantime, how about this concept? How about being someone else's greatest blessings in their life? How about you being the blessing? Instead of wanting the blessing, how about being the blessing? What a concept. Help them to resurrect their soul. That's what we all are, instruments of God for each other. For that same Jesus Christ, Michael, who walked in the first century among man, Son of God and Son of Man, said that he is coming back to this planet. No matter what they say, he's coming back. Not just in you, not just in spirit, but as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is presently on his capital planet world called Salvington, and is keeping account of all of you who hurt in any way his children. Thank you.
Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase. An ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.